Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 64, Farming, Part 2. Now, when it comes to the second block, as I said earlier, a lot of this has to do with the practical work that you're doing, ideally connected with your trip to a farm, and then also more of a picture that the children are creating for themselves about the work that they're doing in the school garden. So in the second part, really, you have a great opportunity for writing for the children, perhaps, to keep a little journal. And in the slideshow that you'll be seeing, you'll see pages from that journal. So these were written by the children on a loose sheet of paper, corrected by me, and then put into their main lesson books. So this is great because even the boys can't say, I don't know what to write. Just say, what did you just do 1 minute ago? I don't remember. Well, they can't get away with that entirely anyway. So this is really great because you have the children are generally enjoying this. It's exciting. They want to tell everybody what they're doing. And the journal, which can be then perhaps sent as a letter to the parents, you can work that out in one way or another, becomes a really nice step at the right time of year, towards the end of the year, for the children to learn how day by day to be writing their own material rather than copying from the blackboard. Secondly, I would urge you very strongly, and once again you'll see a number of examples from the children's own books, have them draw from life. Now they can go out, maybe one group are setting up the milking machines with the farmer, and two or three children are drawing that. Another group are out, whatever they're doing, threshing or working on a tractor or with farm animals, and other children are drawing this. So here again, because they're so interested in what's going on, and because they really are given choices here, they don't have to all draw exactly the same thing, there's a greater impetus, a greater motivation here for doing drawing independently of you, the teacher. So in these two respects alone, and I would, you know, bring this up to parents, some of them may feel that's a lot of days to be away from school, and what are they really going to learn? And point out that actually children can take very big steps. You'll see what happens when they have to draw from real life. Those who are able to rise to that occasion, it's powerful. You'll see the kind of writing that they do, and quite a few of them are able to rise to that occasion. So, you know, pedagogically, this farm trip can be of great value. Now, when it comes to the specifics of the farm trip, I really can't say much about that because every farm is different. Every school works differently with that. It may be of interest to you, and perhaps your parents as well, to know something of the genesis of this. Now, it used to be when there were just less than a handful of biodynamic farms in the United States that one or two lucky schools had a connection with them and got to send children to the farms. But nothing really formal arose until out of the foresight and insight of two very remarkable people, Carl and Arvia Aga of the Rudolf Steiner School in New York City, who in the 1970s realized that the urban children of New York City, they don't get much more urban than that, going to the Steiner School, really needed an ongoing connection to the world of nature. And what they did then was to form the Hawthorne Valley Waldorf Association, I think it's called, a foundation which would be an umbrella group for what has eventually become a very large, active, and successful, commercially successful, biodynamic farm, the Hawthorne Valley Waldorf School, and a wonderful farm store, which has been featured more than once in the New York Times, a great whole food co-op up there. All of this in the area of Ghent, New York, also better known as Harlemville. And here you have the most developed, the most advanced of all farm programs in the United States. So children go up there for 4 or 5 day periods of time. They even will go up in the winter and do snowshoeing and things like that. But they will go up, and the class teacher has a classroom so that they can have, with Blackboard, they can have actual main lesson sessions there, however shortened, connected with the work they're doing. You know, there are places for them to write and to draw. So there's a whole classroom set up there. And in addition, then, they also have the work on this farm, which is a real working, active farm with a big staff. The people who specifically work with the farm program are also often Waldorf-trained, people who know and like children. That sometimes is an issue on some of these farm visits, but not there. Within a couple of years, it was already tremendously hard to get a class scheduled to go there because the demands from East Coast schools, some of them even from the South, were so great to send children up there. So that's been successful. That success has in turn sparked many, many programs. And as biodynamic agriculture is growing now, a very rapid trajectory of growth. In fact, biodynamics is really proportionately growing much faster than Waldorf education. So in a way, that's perfect, at least for third grade, when you're looking for a farm. So as I say, each farm is going to work it out very differently, but certainly it's a pedagogical experience as well. One caveat that I can give you is, and again, this varies school by school, how it's worked out, but this can be 4 or 5 days away from home for the children. This can be, for a number of children in the class, the first time that they have ever been away from home or close friends. Let's say that they've had a sleepover at a friend's house. That's one thing. But here they are really away from the home. They're away from their neighborhood, from the environment they know. And this can be, I can warn you, a frightening, terrifying, anxiety-filled experience, but not for the 9-year-olds who are generally really excited and looking forward to this from day one of third grade. For the parents, here you see the parents going through the 9-year change with their children. And I can tell you, parents will spend months figuring out ways that they can keep their child at home. They will find, you know, every excuse in the book. Celiac, lactose sensitive, peanut allergy, you name it. You know, they'll get, they'll hire international doctors to come and find something wrong with their child to keep him away from that trip. So that's one thing. You've got to, every parent evening, talk about the trip, talk it up, how excited the children are, how wonderful this is, and just be ready. You know, and again, the phone calls, if you're making them on a regular basis, the parents will start to share with you their anxieties or, honestly, their fears. You will experience with one or two parents pathologies connected with this trip, this separation anxiety, to put it mildly. And you will see then how deeply this umbilical cord works, how strongly it's connecting a mother and a child. And for some children, this trip allows them to go through the 9-year change, allows them to start casting off the model body. So I would say, don't be a wimp about it. Every child in the class should be able to go. Now, once again, you hope that the farm can accommodate children who might have one or another special need. But by and large, this is like Heidi. This is like the secret garden. You know, there are kids who just, if allowed to go away from their family, allowed to be in the midst of nature nonstop, to touch cows and even to learn how to milk them or whatever, wow, this is going to be a terrific experience. Don't ever forget that. And you need to call on, you know, colleagues for support. The school administration should stand behind you. That's often where you get the, you know, the biggest wimpiness, that the administrator is afraid a major donor is anxious about her child going to the school or so, to the farm trip. Don't let that happen. Really stand behind it. And then my suggestion here is just the opposite of the reading groups, where I give you the counterintuitive idea. Use parents instead of specialty teachers. Here, I would say, only teachers go on this trip. All you need is one other, you know, of a different gender. Maybe there's not a whole lot of supervision on the farm you're going to, so you need to bring two other people with you. But don't overdo it. No parents. No parents. None whatsoever. No way, whether it's the parent rep, whether it's your dearest friend, whatever, they don't come. Okay, I'm waving my arms in the air in kind of, you know, strong karate gestures. Don't do it. And maybe you want to keep the exact address of the farm a state secret. Because I can tell you, now and then, parents show up in the middle of the trip. Oh my God, oh, we were just up in the area, and, you know, we're looking for real estate, and oh my God, I didn't realize, you know, I'm thinking, oh, look, there's a sign, oh my God, that the children, oh, we're so close. Yeah, right. So watch that as well. And our school had a rule, no phone calls. That would, of course, mean no cell phones, no iPads, no text messages, no smoke signals, whatever. Zero communication with the parents. This is a draconian Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai-like experience where there has to be a kind of big leap taken. The children have already started going through the 9-year change. They are more than ready for this. The children who have not, they need this desperately. So very, very important. Now, just to give you an example to conclude this segment, and then we're going to look at student work. Farming and fibers are both kind of, you know, action-based blocks. So I don't have an exhaustive amount of detail to give you. You'll see it in the children's work, both in this block and also when I talk about the fibers block as well. But one last story. The first night that we were at the farm, so we had Hawthorne Valley has these very nice bunk beds worked out and everything, a girl's room, a boy's room. So woman specialist teacher said to me, you know, Joanne really needs to talk to you, Eugene. I said, well, you know, it's lights out time. She said, well, she seems concerned. So anyway, Joanne, we let her come out of the room for a moment, and she said to me, Mr. Schwartz, can I call my parents? I said, no, you can't. You know, that's our rule. We talked about that. I know, but I think that my father is very, very sick, and I'm really worried about him. I said, well, you know, he was fine when he said goodbye to you. Remember this morning when we all said goodbye? He had a big smile on his face. He looked okay. She said, I know, but you know, I fell asleep and I had a dream. And in the dream he said, I am not well. I am not well. Call me up, please. I said, from what I heard from, you know, the specialist teacher, you actually weren't sleeping, you know. He said, well, I fell asleep very quickly and I had a very quick dream. Anyway, I just said, well, you know, fall asleep again. And if you have that dream, send him very, very good thoughts. And that can really help somebody heal very quickly. So we agreed that that would be the best course. But anyway, you will see, there will be those children who, by the way, that child is herself now a Waldorf teacher. So you'll just have, you know, stratagems from the parents, stratagems from some of the children trying to get around the rules. But this is the mother of all class trips. You know, if they can handle this one, where, of course, there's a lot of supervision, they're generally not in tents, although I think sometimes some farms can't provide that kind of lodging. But anyway, this can be a very important, memorable step. And it's, of all the class trips, it's often the one the children remember most vividly because it was the first. So there we have it, farming and gardening, learning to work with the earth, and yet also learning to stand on your own, learning to leave the Garden of Eden of your home, your neighborhood, your familiar environs, and going out and working the land by the sweat of your brow. All right, so have a look at the slideshow, and then we will go on to look at some other of the subjects that we have in grade 3.